Haley was charged with enhanced assault with family violence. Assault with family violence is normally a misdemeanor offense, but if you have previously been convicted of an offense involving a domestic violence assault, then the next one becomes a third-degree felony. He was convicted of a case back in 2005, and so on this particular occasion, he had been out drinking at a bar with a woman that was his girlfriend and her daughter, who was an adult. They got into an argument at the bar, a disagreement at the bar. They left. They went back to the area of a trailer Mr. Haley was staying in that was located at the business where he worked. Also with them was another employee of that business. He'd also been at the bar and then went back to the location of the business. And when they got back to out in front of that trailer, Mr. Haley approached his girlfriend and struck her in the face with a closed fist, knocked her, according to the witness that was there, and her daughter, unconscious, and then continued to assault her. The daughter at one point tried to step in and protect her mom, and Mr. Haley slapped her in the face and knocked her to the ground. The witness, the other employee that was there, called the police. They responded. They came up when the officers, Brazos County Sheriff's Office, responded along with firefighter paramedics. And when they got there, the victim was conscious and inside the trailer by that point, but she was completely uncooperative with law enforcement at the scene. She refused to allow them to look at her injuries. She refused to allow them to photograph her. She refused to. She continued to tell them that Mr. Haley had not hit her. Mr. Haley had not done anything to her. But officers interviewed the eyewitness and the daughter at the time, the daughter of the victim, and both of them said that, yeah, Mr. Haley did indeed hit her, knock her out, and then also assault the daughter when she tried to protect her mom.
So if you would review the sentencing phase and the argument that you all made towards the type of punishment you felt Mr. Haley deserved.
Yes, sir. I asked the judge for 20 years in prison, which was the most he could have gotten. This type of offense is normally a third-degree felony, assuming you have that prior conviction for domestic violence assault. However, in his case, his punishment range was 2 to 20. It was a second-degree felony because he had previously been to the penitentiary for a burglary of a habitation with intent to commit sexual assault, and that was out of Burleson County in 1993. He actually went to the pen in 1998, I believe it was. He was originally received probation on that case, and then that probation was revoked, and he was sentenced to 8 years in prison in 1998. And so that bumped his punishment range up 1 degree to 2 to 20. We presented evidence of the facts of that case, which were essentially that he went over to the home of an acquaintance, a guy that he knew. The guy that he knew wasn't there, but his wife was there with her children. She was in the bathroom. Mr. Haley entered the house. There was some evidence that he unplugged the phone. That was back in the days when phones actually had cords, and there was some evidence that he, or some testimony that he unplugged the phone and then kicked or beat the door down to the bathroom that she was in. She fought him. Scratched his face, and he fled the scene and was apprehended by the Caldwell Police Department a short time later. They interviewed him, and he admitted what he did. And so that was the offense he originally, or he went to prison for. He, like I said, he was originally given probation in October of 1993. We presented evidence that in 1995, while he was on that probation, he was arrested for not one, but two separate DWI offenses in 95, very close together in time. And as a result of that, Burleson County modified the terms and conditions of his probation and sent him to a facility called SafeP, which is a lockdown rehab facility that's actually located at prison. And it's kind of the last resort rehab that is available to us in the criminal justice system. because it's physically located at a prison and it's you're locked down. And he went to safety and was there for just under a year. He was there for about 11 months. And after he was discharged from safety, he had to do some follow-up rehab at BV Casa here in Brazos County. And he did that. And then in 1997, he was arrested for another DWI, and then a separate incident in 97 for criminal mischief, where he got into an altercation involving involving a girlfriend and another guy, during which Mr. Haley rammed a vehicle with his vehicle on purpose, and he was charged with criminal mischief for that. And then he also had another DWI in 97. And as a result of those things, that probation out of Burleson County was revoked, and he was finally sentenced to 8 years in prison. And I believe that happened in 1998. And then he went to TDC. He got out, and in 2001, he was arrested for DWI again. He bonded out of jail on that one, and then shortly thereafter was arrested for DWI again. He was convicted of one of those, and then they did what's called a 1245 on the other one, which is where he admits guilt, but he's not actually convicted of it. And that was in 01, and then in 03, we presented evidence, but in 03, he had a protective order filed on him by another woman that he had met at rehab. Mr. Haley actually admitted in 04 he assaulted another woman that he had met at rehab, a different woman that he had met at rehab. We called his ex-wife, who had been married to him in the early 90s. She testified that on one occasion he hit her in the face during an argument in a bar. He wanted to leave, and she didn't, so he hit her in the face and knocked her off a bar stool, but she did not want him prosecuted at the time, and so wasn't that evidence. And then 05 is when he picked up the his prior assault family violence, that conviction. And then in 2009 is when he committed the offense that he was tried for in this case. And then in 2011, while he was out on bond on this case, he was arrested here in Brazos County for another DWI, and then bonded out on that. And as a result of that DWI arrest, he was put on what are called bond conditions, which is kind of like being on probation. You're supervised by the probation department. He signed an affidavit saying that he would not drive or operate any motor vehicle at all without permission from the court. And Mr. Haley admitted on the stand today that he completely disregarded that court order every day. He continued to drive every day. He continued to drink every day. And then in January 27th of 2013, he got into an altercation at a bar with a couple of other guys. It spilled out into the parking lot. A witness testified, an employee of the bar testified that Mr. Haley retrieved a firearm, retrieved a pistol from his truck, and fired several rounds into the ground and into the air during this altercation, and then got in his truck and left. He was apprehended very shortly thereafter by the Brazos County Sheriff's Office, which searched his truck and did not find the gun, but he was found to be intoxicated, and so that was another DWI that he just got, 5 months ago, and that was his recent arrest. And as following that arrest, he was put on what's called a scrap monitor, which is an ankle bracelet that measures whether or not you've been drinking through your skin, and it's 24 hours a day. And that was his most recent contact with law enforcement, and we presented evidence of all of those things during the punishment phase.
So is there any time from his prior convictions that still has to be served because he had been on probation? So he has the 14 years in this case, and you mentioned at least two DWIs that happened after he was arrested on this DV charge. So
correct.
How have those cases been disposed of?
They are still pending. He admitted on the stand when he testified today that he was intoxicated on both of those occasions. And so I anticipate what will happen. Ultimately, it's his decision, but I anticipate they're still pending right now. But those are both misdemeanor cases because normally DWI, once you've been convicted twice, your third one is a felony. In his case, it's kind of unique. When he got his two DWIs in 95, he was on felony probation out of Burleson County, and the decision was made by someone, I don't know who, back then, to not actually prosecute him for those. Instead, they just used them to modify his probation and send him to safety. They could have done both. There was no reason not to, but that was just the decision they made. Is they didn't actually file the DWIs on him, didn't get convictions on him. They just used those DWIs to put him in safety. Then the same thing happened again in 97 after he'd been to safety, and he got another DWI. They used that one to revoke his probation and send him to the pen. Again, they still could have convicted him of it, but they chose not to for some reason. And then in 2001, he was convicted of one of those DWIs he got in 2001. The other one I mentioned that he got in 2001, they did what's called a 1245, which is where he admits he's guilty, but it doesn't count as a final conviction. So out of a total of seven times that he's been arrested for DWI, he's only been finally convicted once. And so for that reason, the two that he got back-to-back in 2011 and 2013 are both misdemeanors. And so the most he can get on those is a year in the county jail. And so I anticipate we'll be offering him jail time running concurrent with the prison time that he is currently facing to resolve those cases. But I do not anticipate that we will be dismissing those cases. We are going to seek to get convictions on those so that in the future, if he's ever out of prison and gets another DWI, the next one would be a felony. And actually, because now he's been sentenced to the pen twice, if he were, for example, to commit another DWI at this point, assuming we get convictions on the two that are pending, the next one, the punishment range would be 25 years to life.
Have you run across someone with this kind of history before?
The one thing about this case that is unusual is you have somebody with this kind of history that got the break that he did. I mean, the facts of the burglary in Burleson County were pretty bad, but he was given, frankly, the gift of probation on that case. And then while he's on felony probation, he picks up two DWIs. While he's on felony probation, under normal circumstances, you should be heading to the penitentiary for that. They didn't. They instead tried to help him and put him in rehab, put him in safety for a year. After that, he gets another DWI, and they finally did send him to prison, but they didn't convict him on the DWI. And so, for that reason now, he's still committing DWIs, and they're misdemeanors. That's what sets this case apart, is this guy, just over time, has gotten break after break after break after break and continued to engage in conduct that, and frankly, endangered people's lives and endangered the public and anyone that he was in a relationship with. And we just felt like it was important to put a stop to that at this point, because sooner or later something's going to happen that's real bad with somebody like this, and we would like to stop it before it gets to that point if we can.
And while it's a 14-year sentence, he'll be eligible for parole or probation in 7 years?
No, sir. For this particular type of offense, it's unfortunately it's quarter time technically. And so he'll actually be eligible for parole after 14 years. I'm not very good at math. Whatever a quarter of that is, technically, but it's actually less than that because you can earn what's called good time, which would knock further time off that. And so I would expect that he would actually be parole eligible probably within, a couple of 3 years. That doesn't necessarily mean that he will get out in that time, but that's when he would be eligible. And at that point, it's up to the parole board whether or not they want to release him or not.
Will this be one of those things where your office, because you don't have a victim who's certainly endorsing
correct.
his incarceration? Is this something where y'all are going to just have to be aggressive or more aggressive than usual to try to deny parole probation?
We will anticipate our office will probably send a letter to the parole board, kind of putting our 2 cents in on that issue. I don't know how much weight that will carry with the parole board. I don't know. I truly don't know, as I sit here, right, how long he's actually going to have to serve in prison. But the one thing that is, helpful is because he has now, he's going to have 2 trips to the penitentiary, 2 separate trips to the penitentiary, that becomes very, very legally important, because for the rest of his life, if he commits a DWI, for example, or any felony of the third degree or higher, his punishment range is now 25 years to life. Even if he gets out and even if he, commits a new offense, the good news on that front is that on the next one, we've got a much, much larger hammer over him than we have up to this point.
The reason that this offense took in 2009 and we're now getting around to a trial and conviction in 2013 would be what?
That's a good question. I wish I knew the answer to it. I don't have a specific answer to that. Sometimes that's just how the docket shakes out. Part of the delay is that Mr. Haley has been out on bond for most of that time. And the way the court's dockets generally tend to work is you might have, 15 or 20 people, 15 or 20 cases set for trial any given week. And obviously you have to order them as far as who's going to go, first and so on. And the way the courts normally do it is the defendants that are in jail awaiting trial that can't afford to bond out of jail, those are the people that go to the front of the line, and then it becomes a question of who's been in jail the longest and so forth. So the bond people tend to get kind of pushed down toward the bottom of the docket. And so if somebody's out on bond, it can be hard sometimes to actually get the case to trial. It can take a lot longer than it would if they were in jail. And Mr. Haley, as I said, has been on bond for most of the time since 2009.
And then just to make sure I read the release correctly, it was a jury who decided guilt or innocence, and it was the judge who was asked to do the punishment.
That is correct. In any criminal case, the defendant, prior to the start of the trial, has to make an election that in the event he's convicted, he wants either the jury or the judge to assess punishment, and Mr. Haley chose the judge. And so the jury, we had a jury trial a couple of weeks ago, found him guilty, and then punishment was rescheduled for this week.
And other than the 2 DWIs, there are no other pending cases against him?
That is correct, yes, sir. He had, the 2 DWIs, one from 2011, one from 2013, and then they actually, in this case that he was just convicted of, he was also charged with a misdemeanor offense of assaulting the daughter of his girlfriend, the one that tried to step in and protect her mom. And that was a misdemeanor assault, and he was also found guilty of that and sentenced to a year in the county on that.
And that's going to be concurrent with the felonies?
Yes, sir.
And you're not aware of any other pending charges in any other counties?
No, sir, not the one.